All right, we started a new sermon series last week called Death, Eternity, Now. And last week, the title of the message was A Difficult Question. And if you missed that message, I encourage you to go back and watch it from the NAPNE First Brethren Facebook page. So last week was a difficult question. This week's title is Some Easy Questions. And we're going to answer some easy questions about heaven. And I'm going to answer a bonus question too. All right? And I'm going to go ahead and just answer the bonus question first, because I get asked it a lot. People will say, Pastor, will my pets be in heaven? And my answer is, dogs will, but not cats. All dogs go to heaven, right? At least that's what the movie told us. But cats, well, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But it is my belief that there will be animals in heaven, because the Bible says that there will be animals in heaven. The Bible says that in heaven, the lion and the lamb shall lie down together. And it says in Revelation 19 that Jesus comes riding on a white horse. So Laney, horses will be in heaven. And Revelation 5 says, Then I heard every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and in the sea, all of them, they were praising the Lord. So there are references to animals in heaven. So hopefully that will be comforting to some of you. But let's dive into this message titled Some Easy Questions. And let's look at Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. These are only three verses, but wow, there is so much truth in these three verses. It says, and this is before, I want you to understand this, this is before the second coming of Christ. Okay, you have to keep that in mind. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them. Now, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice it said a white robe. And remember, this is before Christ's second coming, okay? A white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. All right. Here's the first question we're going to answer or explore. Will we have bodies in heaven? Will we have bodies in heaven? You know, people have misconceptions that we are just going to be floating around on clouds, and that we're going to be up there playing harps, and we'll be eating grapes. And there are some people, even theologians, that believe that we're not going to have bodies, that we're just going to be like air. We're going to be like a wisp of smoke or something like that. But let me just point something out to you by asking you a simple question. And then I will give you a scripture to show you why I believe that we will have bodies, okay? But the question is this. Why? Why did he give robes to them if they didn't have bodies? You ever thought about that? Think about that. Okay, and let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 47 to 49. It says, the first man was of the earth. This is speaking of Adam. Made of dust. The second man being Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of the dust, so also are those who are made of dust. In other words, Adam had an earthly body, and we have an earthly body. Stay with me. As it is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly, being those in heaven, okay? And as we have born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. In other words, Jesus is our example. Now, stay with me. Jesus had an earthly body. Jesus got tired, Jesus got hungry, and that body actually suffered and died a physical death. But he was resurrected with a heavenly body. Stay with me. And that heavenly body, it walked on the earth. And that heavenly body ate meals. So that means that we are going to be able to eat in heaven and never gain weight, right? At least that's my theory. But anyways, listen, that body was walking along a road one day, talking to some disciples, and then disappeared. That heavenly body. That body walked through a wall, through a locked door. So it is a resurrected body. But our bodies and our spirits reunite at the second coming. Okay. Some people don't know this, but remember, Jesus said, touch me. Look at the scars in my hand. So there is something of a physical body becoming a heavenly body. And 1 Corinthians 15 would be a great chapter to read because the whole thing talks about the terrestrial and the celestial body and the difference between them. So, it is my belief from my study of Scripture, and not everyone agrees, I mean, not all theologians across the board agree on this. There are different theories on this, but I side with those that believe that we will have some type of temporary body until we receive our resurrected, glorified body. Could I be wrong? Possibly, but I don't think so, because how would we explain Revelation 6? How do you explain the white robes? All right, here's number two. Will we go to heaven immediately? There are some people out there that are teaching something called soul sleep. It is the belief that those who have died are actually in some sort of suspended state until the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is not true. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that immediately, when we die, we go to heaven. Okay. I want you to notice that these martyrs that we talked about in Revelation 6, they have died, right? And they are in heaven. And they are talking to God. They are in the presence of God. And remember, this is before the second coming. Hear this. The second coming isn't until Revelation 19. And so they are in the presence of God immediately. And remember this also. Remember that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 says, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." In other words, immediately. Immediately, when you're absent from the earthly body, immediately you're present with the Lord. That means any person that you have lost that's saved, they are in the presence of the Lord. Here's number three. Will we be able to communicate? Will we be able to communicate? You know, again, some believe that we're just floating on clouds and sitting there playing our harp, and then another cloud just floats by, and you know, you're just kind of, you know, don't recognize the person, but that's not what heaven is about. It's not what heaven is like at all. And we will get into this a little bit more later in this series. But I want you to notice something. Notice that the martyrs talked, and they talked to God, and, by the way, they talked loudly. It says they cried with a loud voice. That means heaven is not going to be like some of the church services we grew up in. You know, we need to be quiet. Not to wake up God. He's very old, you know. No. Here's number four. Will we have emotions? Will we have emotions? Okay, I want you to notice that these martyrs, they had emotions. They cared very deeply about what was going on the earth. And remember also that we are created in the image of God. Listen, your emotions are part of your soul, and your soul's going to go to heaven, right? I mean, you are going to have a mind, and you are going to have a will, and you're going to have emotions. Now you might say, well, could I choose then not to serve God? No. You have already made your choice. You only have one lifetime to make your eternal choice, because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Please understand, there is no second chance. That is completely falsehood. And I'll cover that a little bit next week, in next week's message. But it is completely false that there is a second chance. There's nothing in Scripture that teaches that. But we will have emotions. As a matter of fact, there is joy in heaven, it says, when one sinner repents. And that joy will be unspeakable, unimaginable joy. The joy that we have on this earth cannot even compare to the joy, the peace, and the presence of God that we will experience while we're in heaven. Number five, will we know everything? Will we know everything? Listen, this is a very, very common misconception. That we will know everything. That we will know everything once we get to heaven. And the reason that people believe this is because they have put two scriptures together, and the scriptures don't say what they think that they say. They think it says that we will know everything, or that we will know as he knows. But it does not say that we will know as he knows. It says we will see him as he is. And it says we will know as we are known. Let me actually read those two scriptures to you. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part." Now watch this. "But then I shall know just as I also am known." In other words, I will know others and they will know me. But it is not saying that I will know everything. 1 John 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In other words, we're going to have a heavenly perspective. And when it says we're going to be like God, you got to remember Adam and Eve were like God. And we are created in God's image. But please understand, we will not be omniscient. We will never, ever know everything. But actually, that is a great thing about heaven. I mean, think about this. If you got there and you knew everything, you wouldn't have anything to learn, or anything to explore, or anything to discover. Friends, listen to me. We are actually going to be discovering things for the rest of our lives, for all eternity in heaven. I believe that in heaven, we are going to see the creation of God like never before. And we will learn things about God and about the kingdom that will be absolutely amazing. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place. It's going to be much better than the Discovery Channel, even. Okay, here's number six. Will we know what's happening on earth? This is a common question people have. Will we know what's happening on earth? Yes, we will. But again, we have to have a heavenly perspective, all right? But to show you that we will know what's happening on the earth, let's go back to the martyrs again. The martyrs said, "When are you going to avenge our blood?" Think about that. They knew that their blood had not been avenged. In other words, they said, "Hey, those guys are still walking around. We see those guys walking around on the earth that killed us. When are you going to avenge our blood?" So, we are going to understand what is going on the earth. But again, it will be with a heavenly perspective. And consider Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And remember, this is Hebrews 12, which comes right after Hebrews 11, which is also called the Hall of Faith. We call it that because it talks about all those great Old Testament saints that have gone on to be with the Lord. And then he says, see what he's saying here? He's saying they are going to be witnessing what is going on. Right now, they are cheering you on. Listen, you have people in heaven. You have family and friends that have gone on before you that are cheering you on right now. We have a cloud of witnesses. Okay, look at Luke 15, verse 7. And I referenced this a moment ago. It says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Listen to me. This has to be before the second coming of Christ. Because after the second coming of Christ, no sinner is going to repent. He is saying, I am telling you that when a person gets saved, there's going to be a party going on in heaven. Okay, number 7. Will we remember our lives on earth? Will we remember our lives on earth? Well, that's very simple. And again, let's take Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. Let's take those martyrs. They remembered that they were murdered. They had not forgotten that. It's like, how did you die? That dude right there. That guy killed me. That's how I was murdered. That's how I got here. And he isn't mad at him because, I mean, look, he's living in heaven now, right? But they remembered their lives, right? And take Abraham. Abraham said to the rich man, which is the passage we're going to look at next week, Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime you received good things, and this man received evil things. Okay, listen. Because this is what most theologians believe. And I believe this as well. In heaven, our memories will make us grateful. I mean, consider this. If you didn't have anything to compare heaven to, then why would you even appreciate it? But we are going to have something to compare it to. But understand this. In heaven, our memories make us grateful. But in hell, people's memories torment them because they know that they had a chance and they refused God's love and God's goodness. So yes, we will have memories of our lives on earth. Here's number 8. Will we know people? Will we know people? I said a moment ago that people sometimes think that we are not going to know anybody. But remember 1 Corinthians 13, we read it a moment ago. It says that we will know as we are known. So let me answer this question. Will we know people? Listen, I believe we will finally know people. We don't know people on this earth. Not completely. We really don't. We think we do. Let me say it another way. We are finally going to understand people. You're going to see someone in heaven and you will say, I finally understand you. Men, you're probably going to say that to your wife. Finally, you are a great, intelligent person. I just could never figure it out on earth. I never could figure out what you were talking about on earth. But finally, we're going to know people. All right, let me show you a scripture here. This is a great scripture about are we going to know people in heaven. Matthew 8, verse 11. And this is Jesus speaking. He said, and I say to you that many... Many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, do you realize what you just read? You are going to be able to sit down with Abraham. You are going to be able to ask Abraham a question like, what was going through your mind when you were walking Isaac up that hill to sacrifice him? You are going to be able to sit down with Moses and David and Deborah and Ruth and Samuel and Isaiah. You are going to be able to sit down with these wonderful people. Isn't that amazing? Okay, number 9, will it be boring? Okay, let me tell you something. Do you realize that Satan is the one who basically put the theme out there that heaven is going to be boring? And Satan wants people to believe that hell is going to be fun. Hell is going to be this exciting place. I mean, have you ever heard someone say, well, I don't want to go to heaven because none of my friends are going to be there? Isn't that foolishness? And they say, well, I'm going to go to hell. That's where the party is. It's amazing and sad. But I have heard people say this. And heaven is losing the marketing battle in today's culture. Do you realize that? And the reason is because those of us who are going to heaven aren't bold enough to set people straight. Listen, we need to understand something here. And I hope you are getting a better picture of heaven today. Because the more that we understand heaven, the more motivated we are to get our friends and family there. And the more that we understand hell, which I'm going to talk about next week, the more that we understand hell, the more motivated we are to get people to never go there. Friends, heaven is going to be the most spectacular place in the world. Heaven is going to be wonderful. Heaven is going to be such a spectacular place. Okay, let me read to you from a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper. And there are several good books about this, about heaven. And obviously, you have to be careful with any book of a person's experience, because we can't put it on the same level as Scripture. But if it agrees with Scripture, then we can consider it. And this is a wonderful book. Anyone ever read it? Several. His story is absolutely amazing. This man was actually dead for 90 minutes. Documented dead. I mean, dead. Okay, listen to what he said. As I try to explain heaven, my words seem weak and hardly adequate because I have to use earthly terms to refer to unimaginable joy, excitement, warmth, and total happiness. Everyone continually embraced me, touched me, spoke to me, laughed, and praised God. This seemed to go on for a long time, but I didn't tire of it. My father is one of 11 children. Some of his brothers and sisters had as many as 13 children. When I was a kid, our family reunions were so huge, we rented an entire city park in Monticello, Arkansas. We Pipers are affectionate, with lots of hugging and kissing whenever we get together. None of those earthly family reunions, however, prepared me for the sublime gathering of the saints I experienced at the gates of heaven. Those who were gathered in Monticello were some of the same people waiting for me at the gates of heaven. Heaven was many things, but without a doubt, it was the greatest family reunion of all. Everything I experienced was like a first-class buffet for the senses. I had never felt such powerful embraces or feasted my eyes on such beauty. Heaven's light and texture defy earthly eyes or explanation. Warm, radiant light engulfed me. As I looked around, I could hardly grasp the vivid, dazzling colors. Every hue and tone surpassed anything I had ever seen. With all the heightened awareness of my senses, I felt as if I had never seen, heard, or felt anything so real before. Never in my happiest moments had I felt so fully alive. Doesn't that make you want to go? Isn't that a great place? Okay, let's go to Revelation 21. Let me read a little bit of a description of heaven. By the way, on down in Revelation 21, it gives a description, a literal description of the New Jerusalem. You can read that on down in Revelation 21, but I want us to look at Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' And then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Okay, listen. The greatest thing about heaven is going to be the fellowship of other believers and the fellowship with God that we're going to have. It's going to be amazing. And here's number 10, the 10th question. And it is the most important question. Who will be there? Who will be there? We stopped at verse 5, so let's look at verse 6. It says, "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega.'" That's the first and last letters in the Greek alphabet. "The beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." I love that word, freely, don't you? In Revelation 22, just one chapter over, verse 17, it says, "And the spirit of the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." In Romans 10, verse 9, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." In Romans 10, verse 13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So who will be there? Who will be in heaven? Those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who call on his name. Heaven is going to be wonderful. Are you going to be there? Are you going to be in heaven? Have you put your faith in Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? If not, why not do it today? Holly has. And she's going to walk into the waters of baptism today to profess it before all of you. And during this last song, if you want to give your life to the Lord, I'm going to ask that you please come forward and see Bridget or Rachel. And they will ask you some questions and lead you in a prayer. And if you want to be baptized after doing that, they will get you a shirt, and you too can walk into the waters of baptism today.